Praise the Lord, everyone. Ooh, it is another beautiful day in Alaska. Enjoy the sunshine while it's here. You never know how long it lasts. But the mosquitoes have arrived at my house. Hopefully they haven't arrived at yours. They must have set their clock to when I had to move everything outside. Because they showed up. And they showed up hungry. Amen. This morning we are going to be teaching and we are going to be looking at Born of Water. And our focus verse will be John chapter 3, verse 3 through 5. And the Holy Scripture says, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. What is being discussed here is of the utmost importance. Anything that God says, if you don't do this, you cannot enter, should have priority in your walk. I need to know what this means. Now, I've heard preachers preach and make Nicodemus kind of sound like he was a fool and make fun of him. But I have a promise book full of promises from God, and none of them are as obscure as that statement. So I could only imagine what I would have said if God's like, oh, you have to be born again. What does that mean? I could only laugh at him because I have the answer. Because we would have looked at each other, I'd be like, hey, you're the teacher. Like, you should know. Because I wouldn't know. I'd be like, what are you talking about? Are you trying to refer to like reincarnation right now? Do I have to come back to this place? I would have sounded a lot worse than Nicodemus. But Nicodemus is approaching Jesus in the middle of the night, and he says something that's really intriguing. He says, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher. Well, it's amazing that we know, but there's only one showing up. We know that you are a man of God. We know that these things you do can only come from God. Well, then why are you here alone? Seems to be a theme that Jesus has to deal with. Were there not 10 lepers? Where are the other 9? But he's asking something important. And Jesus says, you have to be born again. And the denominational world will tell you, to be born again, you just have to pray one time. I've been told that. In the middle of my sin, when I wasn't wanting God, I didn't desire God, I didn't believe in God, I was a young 19-year-old Marine, I had yet to go to combat. I was well on my way here in a couple months, but I was out at 29 Palms and I met a group of Christians and they, have you heard about Jesus? Well, I've heard of him, sure. And they sat down and they said, well, do you want to be saved? And I was like, well, I guess that'd be nice not to have to worry. Yeah. Sure. Why not? Well, then pray this simple prayer. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. And amen. I mean, we know the sinner's prayer. Now, here's what's amazing. Never felt God. Never experienced God. Nothing changed about me. I walked to them, the sinner. I walked away, a sinner. I was mocking them as I'm leaving. The only one rejoicing is them. Hey! Forgot all about it. Because right then, according to them, I was born again. And all I did was recite words that meant nothing to me, to a God I didn't even believe existed. And they thought that was enough. Now, I believe my God will jump at any invitation you give him. That is the first time I prayed to Jesus, and I believe he started the course to bring me to himself at that point. But when we're talking about the importance of water in Christianity, we will not deny, no matter what denomination, we will not deny the importance of life. And we will not deny the importance of light. Walk in the light, lest you stumble and you know not what you stumble because you're walking in darkness. I am the light of the world. And men love darkness rather than light. We know that this word is a lamp unto our feet. You need the light to shine. But what's so amazing is everybody will agree about the power and necessity of light. And in Genesis 1:3, he said, "Let there be light." But in Genesis 1:2, God made sure there was water before there was light. This is a God who is purposed, makes no mistakes. And he found it to be more important to make sure water was present in creation before light was. Because the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world was there with the ingredient that was going to be necessary for my cleansing. He made sure that what was necessary for me to be saved, which is him, his blood, and he's going to use water and his name to cleanse me. It was there. And then the next thing he released was light so that I would see that I'm not it, that I'm walking in darkness. Nicodemus is approaching him in the dark. We can all speculate why that might be. I think it's easy to say the Pharisees were not too happy with him. But as we look at the necessity of water, there are some interesting things. He says you have to be born of water and spirit. You have to be born again. And if you look at the physical, Brother Hernandez, he used to preach all the time, the physical will show you a spiritual principle. And so, when you look at birth, an amniotic sac and amniotic fluid is absolutely necessary for the development of the baby. If you do not have an amniotic sac, it doesn't matter if it attaches to the uterine wall, it will miscarry. The reason for it is because that water contains hormones. It contains antibiotics. It is necessary for the development of your lungs. It is necessary for the development of your digestive system. It is necessary to provide cushion from impact. And it is necessary to provide resistance for the development of your bones and your muscles. Now, God says, "I am the breath of life." But if I have no water, my lungs never develop to receive it. I am the bread of life. But if I have no digestive tract that can work, because the water wasn't there for me to ingest and for it to start to process and allow the muscles to start to flex, I'm in trouble. But we think that we can enter in and pray a single prayer, and that's all that's needed. When the reality is God said, you have to be born of water. and of spirit. Now today we're focusing on the water. Now, when I look at it, Nicodemus is asking this question, and he doesn't even understand, but I find it amazing that John the Baptist did. He said, "You're asking me to baptize you? I have need that you baptize me." Nicodemus doesn't even indicate to me in these verses that he understood what he was speaking of was baptism. John knew. He was out in the wilderness preaching repentance. And many were baptized into John's baptism. Many were baptized into the baptism of repentance. And then later, we see that Jesus, when he was being questioned, he asked a question at the Pharisees that is vitally important. He said, "Okay, you want to ask me a question? I'm going to ask you a question. John's baptism, was that of men or was that of God?" That is such an important question to answer when you are reading the Bible. Do you believe that that baptism that John baptized people into, was that of God or was that of men? Now, they wouldn't answer because they knew no matter their answer, there was going to be consequence. There was no good answer to that. If I answer it was of God, he's going to ask, "Well, why did you not obey?" If I answer it's of men, those that think it was of God are going to be greatly upset with us. But here's the thing. We don't have to ask ourselves, "Do I need John's baptism?" But what about the baptism in Acts 2:38? Where it says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." And this promise is unto you. Which promise? Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Because God's word says, if you draw nigh unto me, I will draw nigh unto you. You have to meet God at the line. There has to be a part of you that steps up and says, "God, I'm going to do what I can do. And what I can do is very, very little. I'm going to need you to do the rest. But I'm going to make sure that I meet you at the line of my capability. When I lift my hands, that's as high as the heaven as I can get under my own strength. But I have little kids that come up to me and they want on my shoulders. This is what they do. That's as high as they can go. But I know that when you do that, Dad's going to reach down. Dad's going to touch you. Dad's going to pick you up and place you somewhere you couldn't get yourself." But the baptism, when he said, "You killed the Christ." And they said, "Men and brethren, what should we do?" That's a simple question. "All right, I recognize I'm in trouble. I recognize I'm guilty. What should I do?" You just preached me into conviction. You just showed me what is wrong with me. You just showed me all the offenses I did, and the worst one is that I myself came against God in flesh. Now, I know that we say God died for my sins, and he did. But he also died because of my sins. There's times I like to picture myself as John standing at the cross. But the reality is there's times in my walk where I'm not necessarily John at that cross. I'm more the person Well, why don't you save yourself? Come down. While you're at it, why don't you get me off of this? I'm just being honest. In every step of his crucifixion, every single accuser, every single offense, I can see myself somewhere in my life. How I've disregarded him. Oh, I washed my hands. How, oh, you must be king. All of it. And when you preach, well, you just did this to God. What should I do? And Peter, who was given the keys, said, you have to repent and you have to be baptized in his name. In the name of Jesus Christ, the only name that men should be saved by. There's no other name. There's no other name. You don't get baptized into my name. You don't get baptized into the pastor's name. You get baptized in the only name that will save you. And yet, I see from the very, very beginning why baptism would be fought against so hard. Because in the garden, God gave them instructions. You're to tend the garden and don't eat of this tree. Now, a lot of us are going, well, that's two commandments. Man, I wish I had two commandments. But you do. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. Love people as you love yourself. There's two. He says, everything hangs on this. I gave you two. I didn't even add. And we go, well, that's hard. Well, yeah. When you have to tend the garden by in obedience, you would have had to be around that tree and tend it. You just weren't to eat of it. Just like we have to walk into this world, I will walk through it, but I am not to eat of it. There are things that I will witness others partaking in, that I will have to reach into the fire and hate even the soiled garment, but I bear not eat what they're eating. I bear not participate in what they're participating in. But he went to Eve and he said, oh, you won't surely die. He fought against what was next if you did this. And Jesus said, if you, all those that are believed and are baptized will be saved. Your belief will cause you to be baptized. So we have a God that blinds the minds. The God of this world, little g, the devil, little g, 2 Corinthians 4:4, he blinds the mind so that nobody can see the glorious light of the gospel. They're just impervious to it. And the moment they believe, well, he goes to the next battleground, believe and be baptized. You don't need that water. You don't need it. No, 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 no. That's just an outward sign for everything else. That's just, it's not really necessary. And then, oh, well, if you want to get baptized, don't get baptized in Jesus' name. It's fought every step of the way. You'll find it in your own walk. If you have a promise that has yet come to pass, how often are you attacked on that next promise? Oh, that won't come. Oh, that's not what he meant. Oh, every step, I'm like, oh, new victory, new battle. But that's okay. Because instead of me getting discouraged with every new battle, I can look behind me and see every victory and know that victory's still ahead. But the importance of this water is to ask myself, if Jesus would recognize John's baptism as from God, he's like, I did that. I sent him out there. My spirit called him out there. Told him to preach. tone to baptize. How much more should I sit down and ask myself, who is this baptism from? Is this from God or is this from men? Because a lot of modern Christians will look at the baptism of Jesus and say, well, that's not necessary. That's of men. That's a work. That's you. But I would say that believe and be baptized, because faith without any work is dead. And I'm trying to be raised to life. Now, water is an amazing thing. In fact, it's so amazing, it's the one thing we constantly look for. When we are looking with our telescopes, our Hubble telescope, and they got that new telescope that they're trying to get up, and I can't wait for those images. When they're determining if a planet can sustain life, the only thing they're looking for is water. That's it. Atmosphere is not nearly as important as the presence of water. Because if we have water, we can create atmosphere. And that's the point. The moment we remove the water, there's no atmosphere. But as long as we will allow the water to remain present, as long as we will understand that this is the key to entering into life, atmosphere is going to be created. Because His blood is with us. His name is with us. And that people will know. They will know that the water is where you have to go. It's one of the reasons that I believe in pre-service prayer. He said, when you get the Holy Ghost, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Here's water again. But here's the thing. I believe in pre-service prayer because I believe in praying in tongue. Because I believe in setting the atmosphere. And the reason I believe in setting the atmosphere is because I believe repentance has taken place in a person's life when they walk through the door. Now, I'm not saying they've completed it. I'm saying they started it. And the reason for it is because they are now stepping somewhere they've never stepped before. This isn't what they do on a normal Sunday. They are showing up, and what they are looking for is their life here? And when you have people who are truly thirsty, the thing that's going to attract them is the smell of water. And so when I start to pray in the Holy Ghost, and the pastor is praying in the Holy Ghost, and we gather and we are praying in the Holy Ghost, we are releasing a scent of water into the atmosphere for those that would come and show up and are thirsty. And the scent of water is going to lead you to water. Because when I can smell it, I want it. If you've ever truly been dehydrated, you don't want a soda. You don't want juice. The only thing I want is water. When I am parched and I have been absolutely dehydrated, because when you're in Iraq and it hits over 130 degrees and you have to wear all that combat gear and you have to run from house to house, it's amazing how much water just goes away. I couldn't do it now. I'm not in the physical shape. I'd die. I'd die. That's all there is to it. I don't even need a bullet. The environment would take care of me. But hear me. That tongue that we have, that gift that we have of having His name, this is the most precious thing that others have just discarded. That on His cross, He gave His blood, He gave His body, He gave His life, He gave his spirit, he gave his breath, and above his head, he gave his name. He offered it all on that cross. And when they pierced him, out of his side came water. Because he's coming for a bride. Out of Adam, he took her right out of his side. And out of Jesus, the church came out of that side, I believe it. That what was offering. But people will sit here, well, I don't need to be baptized. Well, then tell me. In Revelation, when we read about that throne and that river of life is flowing from the throne, tell me how you can possibly kneel at his feet and not get in water. How are you going to do that? In fact, we look and it says in Matthew 13, verse 47, and again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew it to shore. See, when God says, I will draw you to me, he draws you out of water. You're not put into heavenly hands until you come out of water. That's why inexplicably you can go into water, and I haven't looked at this, so I'm not testifying of this water. Testifying the water I got baptized in.
This water's fine.
Oh, amen. This water's fine. I'm just saying what I'm about ready to describe is not, I haven't seen it. My baptism tank had muck, had dirt, had dead bugs floating in it. It really did. It had daddy long legs and a couple things. But the point was, when I sat down in that, and they called the precious name of Jesus Christ over me, and I went down, I came out feeling cleaner than I've ever felt in my life. And the condition of the water was not what did it. It was the blood and the name that was acting upon me, that was washing me white, that was erasing my sin. Because there is something that happens with sin. It destroys everything. Everything. In fact, you can see a principle of sin if you look at radiation poisoning. When you get a sunburn, if you're like me, you can burn easy. Doesn't take much. I will darken. My wife will not. She'll just freckle. So she'll burn a lot more than me. But if you get a sunburn, you'll notice you'll peel. The reason you peel is because your cells have suffered radiation damage. And what it has done is it has killed the DNA in that cell. So it is incapable of reproduction unless it is cancerous. And so what it does is it dies and it peels off and it is shed. When you suffer true radiation poisoning, as some of the men have during nuclear reactor meltdowns and through the atomic bombings, the radiation poisoning is so severe that it kills every cell in your body. And here's the point of it. You are still alive and you are walking death. Your body is dead. And you are living in it while it rots because it never regenerates. You are a walking corpse. And God says, while you were dead in your trespasses. But I look around and I say, well, but I breathe. I got a heartbeat. So does that man. He's dead and he doesn't even know it yet. And in fact, the radiation poisoning to get that complete death is so severe that you yourself are radioactive and they have to wear protection just to be around you, lest they themselves get sick. And then we wonder how God could speak of this thing called sin, where everything I touch, everything I do, no matter how good of an intention I have, just dies because it's leaking from me. It's radiating off of me. That sin infects everything because it has destroyed everything about my nature. And here comes God as we get into the water and we get his blood. We get a transfer of new DNA that starts to produce life in me. And it starts to negate what has died. And it allows what has been killed off to be shed, for it to stay there. Because with water, they have found that water has such an amazing property that if you were to go to a nova star that has collapsed in on itself and is drawing things into it, you could negate it by submerging it in water. Because water will only allow so much compression, and then the nature of its buoyancy will push you away. So that, I'm telling you, and I'm not speaking against anybody's belief, this is my own personal belief. This is why when it's, well, I have addictions, I have to get that right before I get in the water. Oh no, if it's drawing you, put it in the water so you have something pushing you away from it. You need that buoyancy characteristic. And while we are supposed to be fishers of men, drawing them out of water, I have found the enemy loves to be a fisher of the old man. He loves to go into a sea of things that were forgotten, that God says, I cast it into a sea of forgetfulness. And he says, hey, Mitchell, do you remember this? Amen. Yes, he does. You remember this? You remember that? You can mess up and all of a sudden 5 minutes go, oh, he don't want to hear from you. You didn't pray yesterday. You think he really wants to hear from you? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. He desires every man to repent. He has given you a new day with new mercies. He has given you a moment that if you'll just realize, there is nothing that is going to keep you from him. Just turn and repent. And when you are baptized, you have the promise, I will be forgiven. And that's why with this buoyancy characteristic of water, this beauty that God has used for our salvation, if anything buoys up and tries to present itself from you again, he says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Start praying over that thing till it gets resubmerged. Put it back where it's supposed to be. Because he uses water because he calls the enemy the prince and power of the air. So he gets us into an atmosphere where he is powerless. You are a thing of the air, so I'm going to put the flesh, his strength, in water. So that you, as a thing of the air, you have no authority down here. None. I don't know how long you can hold your breath. Most I've ever got is like 2 minutes, 30 seconds. That was enough. Any more, it'd probably be 30 seconds. But that's also something that we have to realize. And I'm not trying to take the thunder of the Holy Ghost. When you're praying over a new issue, that's why you have the body. If there's an issue that is arising in your life and you need more grace to cover it, even if it's speaking to you, you need to confess and get other people praying. Because I am here to tell you, if you're the only one praying over it, you're the only prayer life he has to fight. Because when we come together and we are releasing multiple flows, that thing will get covered. But if it's just me trying to deal with it by myself and keep this thing hidden and push it down, all he has to do is get me to stop praying for it to stay there. That's it. And it is amazing how easy it is for a lion to eat a lamb when it's by itself. Church, the water is everything to us. This name is everything to us. We cannot sit here and tout ourselves. We cannot sit here and tout ourselves as oneness apostolic. We believe in one God. We believe in the name and somehow separate it from that baptism. It is eternally tied to it. His name is tied to baptism just like he is tied to the cross. It is a measure of grace. It is a measure of mercy, and it has stood the test of time. And ever since Peter said, I need you to be baptized, it says in Acts chapter 2, and those that believed were baptized. It didn't say they prayed. It didn't say they were filled with the Holy Ghost. It didn't say they got goosebumps. It said they were baptized. This is the most crucial part of your walk, because this is God. I repent. I am turning away from my life. I am turning to you. I am getting out of the water, and I want something new. I want you instead of what I've had. And when I do that, I am positioning myself for promise. My wife's grandfather repented in a nursing home at the age of 91, was brought out of the nursing home, out of the hospice, into a baptism tank, was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ by a Pentecostal pastor down in California. We won't hold that against that man. He's down in Eureka. He was baptized. And my wife's mother, my mother-in-law, who is in Eagle River under Pastor Seagraves, she came to me because he died. And she was crying. And she said, I don't know if he got the Holy Ghost. And I looked at her and I said, yes, you do. He repented and he was baptized. And the promise is, if you will do these things, ye shall receive. That's on him. And I told her, I don't care if it was with his dying breath that came out of his lungs. He spoke in tongues. Because my God cannot lie. He cannot break a promise. And that man did it with a clear heart. It doesn't matter if anybody was there to hear him. We don't need the witness. We need the witness of the Spirit. And the Spirit was there. And I truly believe with all of my heart that man entered into salvation because he couldn't walk, but he met God at the line. Somebody picked him up. Somebody dunked him in that tank. We want to talk about tearing the roof off. Well, if you ever need to meet Jesus, you need to get lowered in. That's all there is to it. This water is the most crucial thing that we have. That anywhere in this earth, you can find life. I don't care if it's down in the Marianas Trench, where they say that the water pressure is so crushing that it's like a polar bear over every quarter of area standing on you. So it's over a ton just standing on you on a quarter everywhere. And there's things down there living. Antarctica, which is the coldest place on the face of the earth, there's things down there living. You go to Australia, everything will kill you. But there are things living. They're violent. The only place you will ever find on this face of the earth that has no life is the Sahara Desert. And the reason for it is because it has absolutely no water. It gets no precipitation, not even a millimeter. No rain, no natural springs, no rivers, nothing. And there is no life. Now, Brother Hernandez told me, the physical will show you a spiritual principle. You remove water, there's no life. Period. This is the gift we have been given. It is not a small thing. It is not a light thing. It is a great thing. This is the open door into our salvation. Amen. All right, well, be sure to fellowship and greet one another in the name of the Lord. Get prepared to worship, and we are going to be blessed to have Bishop Churchill preaching to us today. Amen.